back to the Dashboard Effect podcast. I'm Rick Thompson.
I'm Caleb Oakes.
Caleb, we wanted to talk this episode about the semantic model that you create when you're creating a Power BI report. Mm-hmm. It can be a model on top of a model. Actually, it could be just the only semantic model connecting directly to some data source. Yep. And there's definitely some considerations around this. This might be a little technical, but I think it'll be an interesting discussion.
Yeah.
So how do you think about that report writer creating their own semantic model, and what are some best practices or things to think about in dealing with that?
Yeah. So just to set the stage, so the way that we do it, right, the way we build a data lake and then we put a semantic layer on top of it, and that semantic layer is typically SQL views, right? It's molding the data.
Serverless SQL, yeah.
Yeah, serverless SQL views just makes the data, the raw data, look in a way that's understandable and easy to work with, right?
Yep.
And easy to model with facts and dimensions. Power BI itself has a thing called Power Query in it, and you can go like to a bunch of different sources and you can pull data and you can do that. Essentially what we do in these SQL views inside of Power BI itself,
yep.
You could. You can also just consume those SQL views and do other things outside of them in Power BI. So Power BI has its own little like semantic model engine, right? So anyway, I guess to your point, best practice is the way that we do it. You know, you really want to have as little transformation done in Power BI as possible.
Why?
Good question. Good clarification. So the Power BI inherently has a lot of great things about it. I mean, you can connect to a lot of different data sources. You can connect many different data sources in one data model. However, it's not an ETL tool, right?
Right.
So I could get into some real technical stuff here, but basically if you do too much in that like ETL portion of Power BI, it can just cause you problems in terms of like refresh speed and memory problems. Like just takes way too much.
And just dealing with that M language.
Takes a little while to deal with.
Yeah.
So anyway, the SQL is much better at like feeding data and kind of shaping it. And then you let Power BI do the aggregations and crunching of those numbers. Right.
Yeah. Okay. So you said, as you were explaining that ideally you provide a good enough semantic layer for your report writers that they're just connecting to that and maybe adding some DAX and KPIs and so on, but they're not redoing relationships between tables or that type of thing.
Right.
But invariably, someone's going to have a different way they want to look at it. They're going to have a spreadsheet they want to bring in, or they're going to connect to Power BI metrics to get goals or something, and you have to relate them. So how do you empower people to do that in a good way? Do you need to have governance around that, or do you just kind of let people do their thing? And as we talked about in our last episode, if it turns out to be a report that's going to be broadly disseminated, then you put it through some kind of a governance process to make sure it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the key thing here that I think I want to stress to people is that building that semantic model in Power BI is not something that you need to have super tight governance over. Like it's not something that's going to totally impact IT. Like you don't need to have IT involved in them building themselves a like semantic model in Power BI, right?
Right.
So it's really up to them to like build that the way that they need it built. And it might include some of those things like pulling in an Excel sheet or whatever. And then, you know, another thing to think about is when you have a model, like a Power BI model, Power BI, if you're newer to it, you don't quite grasp the concept of a model and a report being different.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just one thing, right? Because that's the experience in the desktop, right? Once you kind of get further along in your Power BI journey, you start to realize, like, okay, the model can be one thing and I can have a bunch of reports pointed at it, right? But most of the time, I think the broad cases that we've seen, the majority of the cases is people are one-to-one report to data model.
Yeah.
Power BI data model.
And you see that when you publish the report out to the Power BI service, and you'll see the model in there,
yeah.
the report in the model. So, right. But other people can connect to that model and create their own reports if they want to.
Yeah, they could.
But it doesn't seem to happen that much.
Right, right. So I think for most companies, what they're going to find is that it's just fine to have people do a one report to one data model, you know, strategy.
And don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Don't feel mm-hmm. like, okay, wait, hold up. We have to go back to the original semantic layer and get that incorporated there.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't right. sweat it. So there's probably an opt in your mind, there's an optimal level of complexity for that main semantic layer over the data lake. Sort of like we used to think about normalization for databases. I mean, analogous. It's not the same, but analogous. There's a right level of complexity and completeness mm-hmm. in that model to enable people to create their own reports to extend that model. But don't go to trying to create a perfect sort of Kimball data warehouse like semantic layer.
Yeah, is that right? All encompassing
yeah.
model that's going to be able to do everything for everyone. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, you definitely want to have, to your point, like one that does most things, but then let there be those edge cases. And that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah. In fact, well, we'll talk about it in a later episode, but I've been thinking a lot about how important it is to take an iterative approach yeah. to BI. And, you know, for many years, people felt like, okay, I need to do a complete – don't even start creating reports until I've spent 18 months creating this canonical data model that, you know, and what we've found, and we've talked about it before in previous episodes, is that almost invariably once you publish a report and people start using it, they realize what they really wanted, or they realize this other little thing that would make it super useful. Mm-hmm. And you'd think, okay, maybe that happens once or twice for a report. No.
Yeah.
It keeps yeah. happening because the business is changing. There are new problems that need to be solved. People are thinking of different ways to go after the decisions and the things that they want to figure out. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to stymie people by saying, hey, we have super tight governance. You can only use this data model.
Right.
You actually want to let them do that so that they can iterate. And when good ideas come out of that, great. You can incorporate them mm-hmm. in the main semantic layer. Actually, you probably have multiple main semantic layers, but in the right place there.
Right.
But realize there's going to be this meta semantic layer almost always.
Yeah, right, right, exactly. And then, you know, that's a really good point. You definitely don't misunderstand. Like, there is a use case for having like a primary model, right? That does most of your stuff. But, you know, don't make it a requirement to put that, whatever you're trying to do yeah. into that model in order to be able to report on it. Just build it.
You're going to,
you know, separately.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to slow things down. And
right. It'll kill you. And it might actually wreck your main model too,
right? Right?
Because it may not actually fit there well.
Right? Yeah. Interesting. I like it. All right. Well, we'll come back to this in a later episode because I want to talk about that iteration and sort of what we've learned over the last few years of delivering tons of BI projects and how flexible you need to be or when to not be flexible, when to be flexible.
Right.
Spoiler alert. Mostly be really flexible. Yeah, exactly. Enable that as much as possible. We probably should have put a technical warning at the front of this episode. I feel like, you know, we had a lot of terms in there. Hopefully sure. people got some interesting thoughts out of this. And I guess with that, we'll wrap it.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks.